anything else to look to. This world looks to a lot of things this day. I mean, we look to our education. We look to our power. We look to our prestige. We look to our health. We look to our government. We look to false gods. Jesus Christ says, look unto me. Look unto me. One of these days, these false gods will be done away with. And you'll have no one to look to except Jesus Christ. You will stand before Jesus Christ. You will look to Jesus Christ in this life or afterlife, but you will look unto Jesus Christ. Look unto me. How simple, how free can it be to be saved today? That's what Jesus Christ is trying to tell us in these verses of Scriptures, as we have from also John, and you can turn with me also to Numbers chapter 21. It talks about Jesus Christ. Because Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so Jesus Christ also be lifted up. So you have on the board this morning, John chapter 3, verse 14 through 16, about Jesus Christ lifted up. But in Numbers, we tell the example of what it really means to lift up Jesus Christ. In Numbers chapter 21, verse 5 through 9, we'll be dealing with in just a few minutes to let us understand, give us an example of what John was talking about here, about Jesus Christ being lifted up in the wilderness. Or that snake will be lifted up in the wilderness, and whenever he's lifted up, he will draw all men or all people unto himself. Lifted up in the wilderness is talking about salvation, how free and how easy it is. We have a person that come into this building this morning and you're not saved. I don't know who you are. You know who you are. God knows who you are. The Holy Spirit is going to convince you this day that you need a Savior. Well, how are you saved today? But it tells us that we might look into Jesus Christ, not look into yourself, not look into traditions of men or how that you was even raised or what you might think with your mind. Because the Bible says, you know what, thinketh man in his mind or in his head leadeth to destruction. What you think, what lost person think is going to lead to a place called hell. It's not what you think, it's what God says. Always when you go to witness somebody, they'll tell you what they think. They'll tell you what they believe. It don't make no difference what you believe. Makes no difference what you think. Makes no difference what a preacher has to say. They'll say, well, I heard a preacher say something so and so and so and so. It makes no difference what I say as a pastor, as a preacher, or no other preacher. It's what God said in His holy word. If I don't tell you the truth, it's not truth. The Word of God is truth, so it don't matter what I believe. Don't ask me what I believe about something, because it makes no difference about what I believe. It's what God said. God said, if you look into me, you shall be saved. Look into Jesus Christ. Now, we have looked for a lot of things in this world, but we have not looked to the eternal one if you're lost here this morning. So let's read these verses of Scripture. Keep it on your mind for the far scenes of this service that God is going to be dealing all through this time with someone that needs to be saved. You may be a church member. You may be from another church. You may be from this church. You may be already went down the church aisle. You may be baptized, your name on the roll, but you're not saved. God knows the one that's not saved. I'm going to tell you, you're not saved by a feeling. You're not saved now except because Jesus Christ died on the cross and you accept what He did on Calvary's cross to pay the payment that you cannot pay yourself. Look unto Jesus Christ this morning. That's exactly what each and every one of us should be able to do and hold up Jesus Christ if we save here today. That's your job and that's my job in this world, is to lift up Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, if you lift me up, He says, I will draw. I'm going to tell you what, we need some family members to be drawn to Jesus Christ. I'd like to ask you this morning, where is your families at today? Is every one of them serving the Lord this day? Do you know if your families are saved or not? A lot of people say, well, yeah, I believe he was saved when he was little like this. He hadn't been to church in 45 years. Yeah, I believe he's saved. It's not what you believe. It's what the Word of God says. How about your family today? I believe there would be more family members on Wednesday night. I believe there would be more family members on Sunday school. I believe there would be more family members here at this church today if there was more in your family saved today. I don't know who they are. God knows exactly who they are, but I'm going to tell you what, they need to be more lifting up of Jesus Christ in our home life, in our family life, that people might know Jesus Christ and be saved, that you might be able to see some evidence, because the Bible says if you're saved, you will be a changed person, you will be a new person, all old things will be passed away, behold, all things will be made new if you're a child of God. There will be some difference in your life. If salvation do not change you, pray tell me what salvation is all about. If you don't have a change of lifestyle, if you don't have a change in your life, pray tell me what good is the gospel if it don't save people today and change their life today. You will not keep on living in the condition that you're living in once you are saved. I'd like to tell you, this world will tell you that homosexuals are born that way. They will tell you that homosexuals are saved. God says there's no such thing. Homosexual is a sin. They can be saved. God loves the homosexual. He does not love their sin. They cannot stay in that condition if they're saved. You cannot stay in a drunkard condition if you are saved. You can't remain a dope addict if you are saved. You will come out of those lifestyles. God will let you come out of that, give you the power to come out of that. You will not feel comfortable in that. There's so many people today that need to lift up Jesus Christ. If there's ever been a time in our history of our world this day of the greatest opportunity that every generation has ever had, that we've had in this country, had in this world today, from 2,000 years since Jesus Christ has went away to the day that you and I are living in today, we are living in the greatest time and the greatest responsibility that God has ever gave a nation under the sun this day, because the opportunity is all the way around us today. We got more ways to get the gospel out than any generation has ever had in the history of mankind to this world today, and yet we do so little for Jesus Christ. We look about the foreign world today and how they need Jesus Christ. We're looking for our missionaries all across the world. What do we do today? But our greatest mission is our home mission this day. It's in our homes and also in our community today. More people need to come to know Jesus Christ. How many visitors we have that come today because you have went out and told people about Jesus Christ this week? How many people do we have sitting in these pews today because you laid on your pillow last night and you cried and you asked God to help you get someone here they might hear the word of God and be saved? How many times have you went out this past week? How many times have you prayed for that lost one that you think that needs to have Jesus Christ? How many times have you prayed for that child that ought to be in the house of God? How many times have you prayed for your family that know they need to be here to see Jesus Christ? If they are saved, they need to hear the word of God to help clean out their life and clean out the weeds of their life. They may grow a beautiful garden for Jesus Christ. How long has it been since you took seriously what God has called you to do today? Every one of that God has saved, He's called us, and He's called us with a heavenly calling. He's called us with a holy calling, and He's called us to do something. How many times do we come and we sit here on these pews and we hear the word of God, we hear the beautiful singing, and we clap our hands and we smile, and we may feel good all over when we go out. It stops out that door as you go out that door. We don't go out the visitation as we should. We don't pray for people as we should. We're living in the days of the last days. I believe that Jesus Christ will come back before this generation is over with. You trying to tell me when Jesus Christ is coming back? No, I don't know when Jesus Christ is coming back, but I tell you one thing, I believe it's going to be soon. I believe it's going to be sooner than anybody thinks it is. Everything is headed up. Everything is getting closer. It says that in time, it says that knowledge will increase. I'm going to tell you, communication will increase. Look what we have today with communication. Look what we have now, the increase of knowledge we have today in the internet and everything else. Look, we have the technology that we have today in the Darfish Africa. You know, they can hear the word of God this morning over the airways. They have the satellites and villages today around the world. They might hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. When the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached to all nations of the world, we know that it's getting very, very close. But what are you doing for Jesus Christ? Look at your family. Please, I pray to you today to look at your family, and you need to lift up Jesus Christ in your home today, because I think a lot of your family members, your loved ones and friends like mine, have been bitten with this sin. It's called the sin of death. And without the remedy of looking to Jesus Christ, we find that Old Testament, we find out that they also died because they did not look. If you will, now this morning, for just a few minutes, I'd like to hear you back about 3,500 years today and look and see if you have been bit by this snake today. If so, Jesus Christ would have been lifted up. And if you look at Him, it says you shall be saved. In John chapter 3 and verse 14, John explaining about Moses. He says, "And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let us pray. Jesus, our Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for this great opportunity. Father, we know that You hold us responsibility what's going to happen this day. Father, I just pray that You might put it on the heart of every person that's saved here today. Oh my God, will they get out on their knees today if they have to in their heart today and be praying for someone to be saved today. Father, if they one has never known You, Lord, if there's one has never turned, Father, if that snake, Father, has bit that person and they still have that sin running into their veins this day and they need to be cleansed, oh, I pray, God, that they may walk down this reconcile and look up to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith today. Oh, how I pray that you might work here this day. How I pray, God, that lives might be changed. Even though, Father, they're already saved today, that they need to be changed. They need to be understand, Father, they need to lift up God in their home so their little ones might know and see and serve Jesus Christ that never served before. We're at a time today and a great responsibility. How we pray, God, that you might work here in this service today. Lord, I pray that you might use me. I know that I'm not nothing but just old clay today. But Father, I pray that you might take each word I say and you might seed it with the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit of God might enlarge on the hearts of someone here today. They may understand the need to come and they need to give their life to Jesus Christ. They need to come if they have not been serving you, Father, and they backslidden on the Lord today. Oh, Father, how I pray that you might bring them back to that bleeding side. They might look up to you and see that you're the author and finisher of their faith this day. Oh, how I pray this day, Lord, that your name might be glorified. And the greatest way to glorify the Lord today is if someone realize that they're lost and need to look into you and be saved. Whosoever shall come into me, I will no wise cast out. The word says, God, I believe you here this day, and I believe that you will work today. Father, I just pray, God, that the power of the Holy Spirit of God be upon this congregation today in the precious and the holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, here this day. And amen and amen. Isaiah said, Isaiah 45 and 22, look unto me and be you saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And we also find that 2 Peter 3 and 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. John chapter 14 and 6 says, Jesus Christ said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father except by me. This is a way for salvation today. Isaiah, he says now, again, look unto me, and I shall be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. It says, for I am God, there is none else. Today, in Isaiah's day, there was false gods. I'm going to tell you, people was looking to Buddha. And I'm going to tell you, old Buddha was laying there in the grave. They was looking for all type of false gods in Isaiah's day, as they are in our day today. You know, people is going to begin to scratch their head, and they're finding out the gods they had in the past, their prestige they had. I'm going to tell you, the money they had, the power they had, the position they had, everything they counted on, for they might live their life in comfort and have everything they want. They're finding out that it's passing away now. They had all these false gods. They're false gods all around us today. But I'm going to tell you what, people have tried a lot of false gods, and they're looking for something that's real, and they're coming to church today, and a lot of times they're not finding what they need at church today. The Word of God is not being preached in a lot of churches across the pulpit of our nation today. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of Christians, they don't live like the Christian day, and people are looking for something, because I'm telling you that that old devil himself is pulling the nails upon the scaffolds of this world, and this world that you and I know of, and the safety that you and I have been so many years looked upon today, I'm going to tell you, it's come crashing down today. We don't know how much longer Social Security is going to last. We don't know about our health care system. We don't know if we're going to attack from a foreign nation. We don't know if an atomic explosion is going to come in our country. We don't know if our economy is going to fall greater than it is of the Great Depression today. We don't know what's going to hold this country up except Jesus Christ, because all of our false gods it was in Isaiah day, it began to fall to the sideline. People don't have that future no more to look to as we used to have our future today in education and government, or whatever it might be. But God says, for I am God, and there's none else. Looking to God, because there's no other way. There's no help, no way that you to be healthy today, and no way for you to have joy today, except in Jesus Christ. And look at your family today. Are they serving God as they ought to serve God today? They're serving all types of God today, but they're not serving the true God. In Isaiah today, he says, I am God, and they are no other. It's not what you think, not what you believe. You think you might eat, drink, and be merry, and now you'll have a happy life. You will never be happy without Jesus Christ. God said in Isaiah, I am God, and they are none else. There are no other God in this world can give you what I can give you today. Yes, they're searching. No, they're not here today. No, they don't care about the things of God. No, they don't care about the people of God, and they're not here today, and they're searching for God. They think they got a God under this arm and a God under this arm and doing plumb fine today, but they have not lived to the end of their life yet. Well, they will face a God. God said, I am. I am. There is no other God. I am the only God, if they are today. all the ends of this earth today. Well, what did it mean when Isaiah says all to the ends of the earth today? Well, the ends of earth is far wherever you stand at today. We stand right here in this church today, in the far parts of the world today is the end of the earth. No matter where you're standing on this world today, and you read this verse of scripture, it will tell you from the far parts of where that you're standing at today. And then it says, look unto me. Look unto me. People's looking to everything else except God today. If people was looking at God today, you would not have to twist their arms. You wouldn't have to go to their homes over and over and over and over and over and over again, trying to beg them, try to plead them, try to encourage them, try to pray with them. Would you just please come to the house of God? You belong there. You are a member today. You are a member today. He says, look unto me. Look unto me. Don't look to nowhere else. But we have people looking somewhere else. Pleasant Hill, today it says, look unto me. If you're here today and you're lost, Jesus Christ is telling you today to look unto me. Look unto Jesus Christ. Well, now, if there's a blind person sitting in this building today, does that mean that blind person could not be saved? Yes, that blind person could be saved today, because the Bible did not say, see unto me. It says, look unto me. As we look into Jesus Christ, we understand it's not just seeing, but it's comprehending. It's looking, it's comprehending, it's understand. It's not just a look as you look into the day, but it's a comprehension of salvation. It's not just a seeing, but it's a turning. It's not just a seeing, it's a turning. When there, he says, look unto me. It's not the seeing that he's talking about. It's the turning that he's talking about. It's the look that he's talking about today. As we turn towards Jesus Christ, looking to expect by our faith what Christ has done for us. Trust that he's the one that saved us, and he's the one that heals us. People need to understand the bad news is that you have been snake bitten by Satan himself in the Garden of Eden, passed on by Adam to every one of us today. Your little ones you brought in this world, those small kids having children church across the way, our little one that's in the nursery today, every one of us today have been bitten by the sin of death, because it had been passed on to all man today. You have been bitten by this same snake. It's called the snake of evil. This same snake is called of sin. And I'm going to tell you, there's only one cure. I don't care how much you love your children. I don't care how much you care them to the hospital, how much you care them to the doctor, how much medicine that you give them. This type of sin will lead to death without Jesus Christ. That loved one that you brought in this world is going to a place called hell if they're not saved, regardless of who they are. You brought this child in this world, and it's up your opportunity to have this child in a place of God. They might hear the word of God and come to the knowledge of the love of God, that they might be saved today. Any mother and father don't see this. They call themselves saved, and yet they'll do everything in this world to bring their children to the house of God. And you tell me if they love their children, they don't know what love is. Love is bringing them where they might hear the word of God and see the word of God and see the action of what God has done for you and for me today. They need to be at the house of God today. If you love your children today, an expectation. This great verse of scriptures in Isaiah, I'm getting too much on this verse, but anyhow, it says, look unto me, and be you saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. Charles Spurgeon was one of the greatest men probably has ever penned a sermon, probably the greatest person ever preached outside of Paul in the New Testament time. And this was the very verse of scriptures that called him to come to the knowledge of salvation and accept Jesus Christ. Now, he was walking down a street. He was going to church that Sunday morning. It was snowed in up in Ireland, and I'm going to tell you, England, and it was snow, and the preacher could not make it there, a little small chapel. There was no preacher there that morning. So they was waiting for someone to get up. He said a dozen or two people might have been there that day. He was lost. He had done everything he could. He tried to be a good person, but he knew he could not find God by trying to be good. He went in that little small mission, and they began to look around for someone to preach. The preacher was not there. So a lay speaker just got up, just like some I would call you this morning here today. I like for some of you men just get up and stand behind this pulpit and start preaching the word of God. What would you have to say? Most of you would have to say very, very little. Well, this man said very, very little that day. He was not prepared, and he had very, very little, but he opened to the word of God. To this word, it says in Isaiah chapter 45 and 22, look unto me. He says, look unto me, and be you saved, all the ends of the earth. And it says, for I am God, and there is no other. And we find out that old Haddon Spurgeon, as he began to look at that man and know what that man said, looking to me, looking to Jesus Christ. And then that man began to say, I want you to look at Jesus. I want you to look at Jesus Christ. I want you to look at the sweat that Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, it sweat great drops of blood, knowing that he was fixing to go to the cross and die on the cross of Calvary for your sin. And he didn't really want to, but he wanted to do what God told him to do. He didn't want to die, but he would die because God said, you come to this world to die, and I'm willing to do what you done, what you want me to do. Father, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. If it's your will, I'll go to the cross. And he says, look into me, that great sweats of blood that he began to bleed. And he says, look into Jesus Christ, the one hanging on the cross for you and me today. He said, I looked at that Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross there, and those nails been nailed in his hand, those nails nailed in his feet, and the crown of thorn upon his head, and the blood running down his face. And there he was beaten to the life. He couldn't hardly recognize him if it had been his own mother there that day. And yet he says, I looked at Jesus Christ on that cross. Look to me at the blood that I'm bleeding for you. Look to me on the cross of Calvary. And then he says, look to me because I'm fixing to say something. And Jesus Christ, with his arms stretched out, and old Spurgeon said, I could just hear the word from Jesus Christ. And he says, it's finished. It's finished. I've done it for you. I've done it for you, Spurgeon. Look unto me. I've done it for you. All the gods of this world can't do what I just done. All the gods of the world can't say what I just said. I've done it for you. I've done it for you. I've done it for you. And he can hear those words in his ear off the pages of the Word of God. That man said, I've done it for you. But not only that, he says, look to Jesus Christ because he died that day. Look to Jesus Christ because we know that Jesus Christ arose. Look to Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus Christ ascended. Look to Jesus Christ because we know where he's at now, at the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for you and I today. Look to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith today. Look to Jesus Christ. For us, we see now the picture of Jesus Christ here in the Old Testament. We see that Jesus Christ was a serpent in the wilderness. Now we know the story, how God, people of Israel, had sinned, and God sent old snakes to bite them, probably cobras to bite them. And it says much people died. So you know the story. How about halfway out in the wilderness that God led his children of Israel? I mean through the Red Sea. He delivered them from bondage with great 10 plagues of all the gods of Egypt there. He led them through the Red Sea. He carried them to Mount Sinai. He gave them the 10 laws. Out there in the wilderness now, they begin to doubt God again. How many times have you doubted God? Do you believe God is powerful enough to save one of your loved ones now? Do you believe that God is powerful enough to reach down in your home and change your home when it seemed like there is no way to change your home today? You think you got some things that's impossible to happen in your life? You think God is not the God of the impossibility, that God can do anything he wants to do? I'm going to tell you the God that I'm talking about here today, the nation of Israel, like so many of us, so many times that we doubt the word of God, and we doubt the promises of God, and we doubt the provision of God so many times, like the nation of Israel done when they was in the wilderness. Well, you know, they complained and they murmured and they prayed so many times, oh Lord, well, you brought us out here in this wilderness to die. But God says, no, I got a plan for you. I did not bring you out here in the wilderness to die. I brought you out here in this wilderness that I let you understand that I am God and there are no other. All he says now, anybody could understand how plain it is, but they could not understand. There's so many things that we need to understand here this day. So let's just read Numbers and see what happened to these people in just a moment now. Numbers chapter 21 and verse 5. And the people spoke against God and listened, and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is any water, that are so longing for this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, take thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, any person, when he had, then he'd be healed, the serpent of brass, and he lived the day. Let me tell you what he done. He made a serpent on a pole, and he says, now you look upon it. I want you to tell you and go back now for this 3,000 years. I want you to look and see how this sinful rebellion started at. Three folds there, number verse 5 again. The people spoke against God and against Moses. You know, that we got brought us out here to die in the wilderness. Now, you see, they doubted God's promise. You know what God has promised you? God said, I have begun a good work in you. And who's going to finish that good work? God himself. Did you know whenever God says you're saved, you're on the way to heaven? You know that God said you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God? He says there's nothing can separate you from the love of God, no height or death. I'm going to tell you, not principalities, that nothing that cannot separate you from the love of God. Did God love you this morning? Is he taking care of you this morning? Did he promise to meet your needs this day? God says, I will meet your need. But they doubted God's promise. Out there in the wilderness, they begin to die because they doubted God's promise. That's what you do. You wither up and die when you doubt the promise of Almighty God. Hey, God brought them to, was going to bring them to a land of milk and honey. Going to bring them to houses they did not build. They're going to carry them to vineyards they did not plant. I'm going to tell you what, God was carrying them to a land was so much better than any land. It would be like the Garden of Eden for us today. I'm going to tell you, it was a fruitful land, carrying to Canaan land. And God was going to give them all things, everything in this wilderness. You see, the Lord's going to carry you to a land of milk and honey. But you see what they had to do? They started doubting God's promise. So many people here today, have you got someone that's lost and you doubt God can save that person today? I'm going to tell you, you might have some sickness. Don't you believe we need to pray? We're here on Wednesday night and we pray for people that are sick, that God will reach down and touch them and heal them. Where are you at on Wednesday night that you might lift up the people to Almighty God? One of these days you might be on that bed of affliction. One of these days you might be looking for someone to lift up your name to Jesus Christ. He's the one that does the healing. Thank God for all the doctors and medicine and technology we have every day. But the healing comes through the name of Jesus Christ. There are no other way to be healed except through Jesus Christ. And he's the one that does the healing today. You need to be in numbers out here on Wednesday night. We need to grow in number, because more number we have, the more power we have in Jesus Christ. When we lift up our voices in Jesus Christ, the more people we have in the choir, the more voices we can lift up to Jesus Christ. And not only the choir, the whole bunch of us ought to be singing about the blessing God has given us today. Didn't hear too many people singing, how bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord. Didn't hear too many people singing out there in the place today about what God has done for you. Sing, because what God has done for us, he's given us a new song in our heart today. But you see, we were just kind of like they was. Well, they was whether disobedient, and they doubt the promises of God. They doubt the promises of God. John 3:18 says, now this unbelief is sin. It's a sin of all sin. It's a mother's sin. It's a father's sin. It is a sin of all sin. John 3:18 also tells us, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten of the Son. You see what you hear today? You have not believed in Jesus Christ. Well, you're already condemned. There's nothing else you can do. It's not the amount of sin. It's not what you do. It's not your cussing. It's not your drinking. It's not your lying. That's not what sends you to hell. It's rejecting Jesus Christ with unbelief. I'm going to tell you, you got that snake latched on your arm this morning, and it's pumping poison in your vein today, and you're going to die. I'm going to tell you, you can take all remedies you want to, and you're going to die. I'll never get time to finish this sermon because I'm just now starting. But I'm going to tell you what, you're going to die because you have been bitten. And the only remedy you have is Jesus Christ. You can try everything you want to. You can try shake away that old beer can and throw it in the trash if you want to. I'm going to tell you, try to quit all these things. But I'm going to tell you, it's too late to try to kill the snake, because the venom is already in your veins today, and you're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die, and there's only one remedy, and that's Jesus Christ. There are no other way. Jesus Christ said, I am the light, the truth, and no man come to the Father except by me. I'm the way. There's only this way that you're going to be saved, except what Jesus Christ has done for you today. The Bible says, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar. If you don't believe this morning, you're lost in your sins. And you don't believe what Jesus Christ done on Calvary's cross. You don't believe that you might get up out of your pews and walk down this aisle today and get on your knees and say that I'm a lost sinner today. I'm a lost sinner today. And I believe that Jesus Christ can save me of my sin. I accept it. But if you don't do that and you walk out of here lost, you're calling God a liar. You're calling God a liar. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. You're calling God a liar. You don't believe God can save you this morning. You walk out lost, you are telling him a liar. Any greater sin is to aim the gun of unbelief at Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary and to refuse to believe what he did for you. That is the greatest sin they are, to shoot toward Jesus Christ in unbelief. Look at him on the cross of Calvary, and you won't say, sir, I'm lost, I need to be saved. What must I do to be saved? Except Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior this day. I'm going to tell you, your goodness won't work. all your goodness in the world are filthy rags in the sight of God. I'm going to tell you, they doubted God's promise, but they disavowed God's provision also. They did not want it. I'm going to tell you, God gave them supernatural benefits like He does us every day. He don't only feed the children of Israel with that manna. I'm going to tell you what, it's just as good. He feeds us this day. If it was not for God, you think it's your job, you think it's your money, you think it's your help. If God would do this right here, and every one of us would be able to get out of bed in the morning, we could lose our job just like this. We would not have the energy to go to one of the greatest jobs there are in this country. I'm going to tell you what, God can take away everything that you got. God fed those people in the wilderness, but I'm going to tell you what, He feeds us today. We just don't realize a supernatural miracle in our life every day that God feeds us and takes care of us each day. We go on this road and we pass death just by a few feet when we pass the cars every day, but God keeps us alive today. You're breathing here this morning because God gave you that breath to breathe. Your heart's beating here this morning because God told that heart to beat. All God got to say, heart, don't beat none of the time. And I'm going to tell you, we'll have to call 911, but it will be too late. But you'll be on your way to a place called the hospital. But your soul, I'm going to tell you what, and your spirit go on and be with the Lord. It's just that quick. I'm going to tell you, it's supernatural. But they didn't like this manna. They didn't like this bread from heaven. I'm going to tell you, you don't like God's blessing sometimes. People don't like, what when they say, don't like God's blessing. I don't like to serve God. I don't want to quit what I want to do on Sunday morning. I don't want to quit what I got to do on Wednesday night. I don't want to study the Word of God. I don't want to have to come to Sunday school. I'm not going to bring my kids to Wednesday night. I'm not going to do this. I don't want God's blessing upon my life. I want to do it myself. I'm tired of this type of blessings. I want to be blessed myself. I think I can do it myself. But I'm going to tell you, tired of God's manna? Are you tired of God's manna? Well, they got tired of God's manna. And I want to tell you the same thing for you, the same thing for me today. When we get tired of God's manna, God is going to do something to you and me. He's going to do something to this country, because I'm going to tell you what, we're under the judgment of God in this country right now. Whether you believe it or not, God is already sending judgment. Why? Because we have murmured and we have complained about the supernatural manna that God has fed this country with for over 200 years, and we said, I'm tired of that type of manna. I'm tired of the Ten Commandments. I'm tired of praying in school. I'm tired of telling people that I'm a Christian. I'm tired of these things. And we have allowed the occults. We have allowed the vacuum coming into our life and our country today. And we're tired of God's manna, just as tired as that nation Israel got, because of that old sin that began to bite us. And I'm going to tell you, that old snake of sin is around here today. Now, what it means, that bread from heaven represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? They was tired of the Lord Jesus Christ. People's tired of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't want to come on Sunday night and hear another sermon about Jesus. They don't want to come on Wednesday night doing God a favor. I've come one time this month already. Why, God, what do you expect out of me? What do you expect out of my family? We've already laid down for 1 hour this whole month to come out and hear what you had to say. And I'm tired of this manna. I want to have some garlics and leeks with this old world. I'm going to go back in this old world. I'm tired of doing what you think that church ought to tell us to do. I'm tired of being there every day. So let's go out on our own and do what we want to do. And they got tired of this manna. But I'm going to tell you what, this manna represents Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, they was rebelling against Jesus Christ as people rebels against Jesus Christ right now. I'm going to tell you, this manna, I'm going to tell you, it came down from heaven. This manna was Jesus Christ. Did Jesus Christ not come down from heaven? Jesus Christ was the bread of life, was He not? I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. He's the bread of life. This manna, He says, He gives you life today. And the manna of your day, your people kicks under the table. This manna, they kick out the door. And this manna, they claim that they don't want no more of today. I'm going to tell you, is this manna that Jesus Christ came down from heaven today? But not only that, we know that that manna was round. It was round. That means it never had no ending. I'm going to tell you, the love of God loves you just as much no matter what you do. It's not your behavior that changes God. There's nothing that can change God. He loves you just as much today before you ever sinned as did the day that you were a sinner. He loves you today because you're saved. He loves you. He'll always love you. Only thing is different, whenever you're saved, you become His beloved in Christ Jesus Christ, because you become His special love, but He loves you. But this manna was round, a never-ending, like the never-ending love. It was never-ending as Jesus Christ never was. It always was. It never was a beginning for Jesus Christ. He always was a never-ending of Jesus Christ. And this was a round kind of waver. It was a round thing, like kind of like a donut, and it had a never-ending of it. Jesus Christ is never ending, the same yesterday and today and forevermore. But they was tired of Jesus Christ. Christ. They was tired of him coming down. They was tired of this manna. They was tired of everything he done. And I want to tell you, this manna, it says in the Bible, it was white. I'm on white stand for Jesus Christ, purity. People's tired of God's righteousness. They tired of purity of God. And that's the reason we have evolution. They won't get the word of God out of our country. They want to get the word of God out of our government. They want to get the word of God out of your life. So that way they have no absolutes. Whatever you believe will be all right. If whatever you don't believe will be all right. And there's no absolutes this day. And they'll tell you what, the Bible is not true. You don't know what to believe about the Bible. There's so many Bibles written today, you don't know which one to believe today. But I'm going to tell you what, the Word of God says, you know what? It is a pure thing. It's white. And I'm going to tell you, the Word of God and Jesus Christ, he is pure. Look into him and be you saved, all the ends of the earth. Not only that, we find out this manna that they kicked around, they didn't like this manna, was also, it was flavored there with oil. It says oil. The oil there is the Holy Spirit of God. Speaks of the Spirit of God was upon Jesus Christ. And the day that he was baptized, it says, you know what? The Holy Spirit of God ascended on him like I did the other day, anointed him for the ministry that he was going to take on for 3.5 years. So this oil is the Spirit of God. People are tired of the Spirit of God. They don't want the Spirit of God. I'm going to tell you what, we need the Spirit of God to teach you this morning. Praise God for the Spirit of God. It's in this building today. You might not be able to see him. You might not be able to touch him. But I'm going to tell you, he's with you today. He's inside of you. And also, he's here in this building today. The Spirit of God. But they had no part with the Spirit of God. They did not want him today. But I'm going to tell you, that old manna, they just kept kicking around. It was, the Bible tells us that it was sweet. It was sweet. I'm going to tell you, the sweetness of Jesus Christ. The sweetness of Jesus Christ. Can you say with me, absolutely today, when be honest in your heart towards God, he's sweeter today than he's ever been before. I did not know much about Jesus Christ when I first got saved. Jesus Christ was sweet to me when he came and put his hand upon my shoulders spiritually, and he says, son, I'm going to lift you up. Son, I'm going to forgive you of your sins. I said, Lord, you don't have many. I've sinned. He said, what sins are you talking about? Oh, God, I said, you're so sweet to me. And Jesus Christ was sweet that day that I come to know him as my Lord and Savior, when I realized that I was a man, when I realized that I was a dead man, when I realized that I was a sinner, when I realized there was nothing that I could do, when I realized all hope had gone from me, when I realized that all the work that I could do would not earn my way of salvation, when I could not be good enough to be saved. And Jesus Christ, he said, now, son, I want you to get up off your knees because you're somebody, and I didn't make no junk today. I'm going to tell you, I ain't much now, but I'm going to tell you what, Jesus Christ is still working on me, and Jesus Christ is still working on you today. I'm going to tell you the sweetness of Jesus Christ. I can honestly say here before these people today in front of God Almighty that Jesus Christ is sweeter to me than he's ever been before. He's sweeter every day than he was yesterday. Jesus Christ is sweet today, and he's getting sweeter every day because it says, you know, we need to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the more I know, and that's the reason you need to come, and that's the reason that you need to read, because the more that you know about Jesus Christ, I guarantee you by the authority of the Word of God, the sweeter he will be to you. Jesus Christ has said that he was sweet. He was also sweet. All the sweetness of Jesus Christ. But not only that, that manna laid on the ground. That manna laid on the ground. And that shows the humility of Jesus Christ was brought down low upon this ground. But you see, they had together this manna. And this manna was picked up. Jesus Christ went to the grave, but also Jesus Christ was lifted up in his resurrection. That man also speaks of the resurrection. And it says, they eat it. Take, he says, this is my body and broken for you. Take it. And they take it. Trust Jesus to give us life and everlasting. But they did not want this manna. They wanted the garlics of this old world. How many people today do not want this holy manna? How many people today do not want it? There'll be more excuses, but God will not accept it. There'll be alibis, but God will not accept it. Just be honest with God. You just don't want God in your life. And that's all it is. They wanted the garlics. They doubted God's promise. Disavowed his provisions. But not only that, they despised God's prophet. It says in verse 5, they spoke against God and against Moses. When they fall out with God, generally they'll fall out with God's prophet, God's preachers. Person get where they stop coming to church, They'll quit Sunday school Wednesday night. They'll quit coming on Sunday evening. Sunday morning, then they'll start coming occasionally. Most of the time, they'll tell you, that preacher. It's all because of that preacher. The person fall out with God, or fall out with his messenger. Second thing, I'm just going to get to maybe my second point. It was a sinful retribution. Serpents is a symbol of sin. Garden of Eden, we know the little snake hissed his way. You can always say sin and serpent is about the same. The misery that sin brings, God says, if you bound to sin, you're bound to suffer. That snake, everywhere. All around them, the snakes was everywhere. They was in the house, in the tents. Mamas were getting bit. Daddies was dying because of what they had done. But there was a cure. I'm about to cut this short. About one third through. But there was a cure. God said, Moses, you make an old serpent of brass, put it on a pole, hang it up. Anybody looks at it, they shall live. Well, it's kind of like this today. You go to the doctor. You go to the doctor, and the doctor examines you, and he says, you got a terrible, terrible disease. In fact, you're going to die. You say, Doc, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Are there any way, any cure? He said, well, there's one cure, but it's cost a king's ransom. It cost a king's fortune to get this. And I don't even know if I could get it or not. He said, will you try? He said, well, I'll see you in a few days. So the doctor goes out, tries to borrow all the money he can borrow. Then he takes all the money he has out of his bank, and he goes to get this cure. Been gone for several days. He come back. This man by his bedside. The man looks up at him and his hair's all messed up and wrinkled. Blood all over his face, his clothes half tore off of him, eyes sucked back in his head, beard growed out. He says, Doc, what in the world happened to you? He says, well, I had to do this. I had to go get as much money as I could. I finally found this medicine. I got this bottle of medicine for you. But on the way back, he said, my son went with me. And we had a wreck on the highway. And my son was killed in that car wreck. And I picked him up in my arms. And I carried him to the ambulance. But they rushed him on into the hospital. But they said he was dead. Carried him on to the morgue. And he said, I just left the morgue. But I know that I had to get back to you with this medicine. It's so valuable, so important to you. So the man takes that little bottle of medicine. He lays it on the bed. And he throws it on the ground. He busts that bottle of medicine. Then he points his finger at that doctor. He says, Doc, if I go to hell, it's your fault. If you go to hell, it's not Jesus' fault. His son died on the cross of Calvary. He done everything to pay the sin debt for you and for me. You set your pews just as comfortable as you want to this morning. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're on the way to hell. God has never sent no one there to hell. But you're sending yourself there because you will not take this medicine. It's called the cross of Calvary for your sins. We come to the song of invitation this hour. As I said, about halfway through, I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to go all the way through this message. It'd take me about a week probably to preach this medicine. But if you lost here today and you want to be saved, you need to come. You walk out of those buildings, you reject what God has done for you. You calling God a liar. You can't save me and you can't help me, God. Oh, there's so many of these people that got bit by the snakes. Someone said, I just don't believe looking at this old brass snake going to save me, and they died. Others say, well, I believe it will save me. I really got confidence in Moses, and I believe that he's really doing the best he can. I believe he's telling the truth. I believe if I look at this snake, it would save me. Well, sir, would you like to look right now? No, I don't think I want to look today. What kind of nonsense is that? What type of rationality is that? That you won't come today. You want that snake to hang on to you for another little while? Why don't you come right now and be the person that God has called you to be as we stand for this invitation?